Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're getting ready for a game against the New York Giants this upcoming Sunday, 3:15 p.m. kickoff this week on Fox. That's where the television broadcast is. Radio on the Packers Radio Network nationally on Westwood One Radio and simulcasted on Sirius NFL Radio. Anyhow, let's get down to this New York Giants primer episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everyone so much for joining us this morning. And our live blog director, Jamie Jorge, approving comments today. If you want to comment, you can also tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV. Use our Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player, or any way you want to get in contact with us. I'll open up the phone lines later as well. I left a link to this morning's Packers Daily Links at the top of the line blog if you want to open that and follow along. Got a lot of college football related news today related to the Packers. Top story today, safeties coach Darren Perry interested in the Penn State head coaching job. A story coming from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, which covers Penn State football, and they interviewed Darren Perry's agent, Chris Turnage. You know, usually you think of players as having agents, but coaches do too. They got to help them sign their contracts and things along those lines, and they interviewed Perry's agent, Chris Turnage, and he said, quote, "If approached by Penn State, this really would be the only college job that he would take a hard look at and really listen to." So, you know, as you can see, nothing's set in stone. Nothing's saying Perry's going to take the job, or even if he was offered it, that he would take it, just that he would have interest in it and would look at it. Now, personally, I've heard several observers say the next head coach that they're going to hire at Penn State, they don't want them to have any connections to the previous regime, any connections to Joe Paterno, Jerry Sandusky. Not that Darren Perry's done anything wrong, or anybody that they possibly could think about hiring for that matter that does have a Penn State connection, but they just, you know, think it's in the best interest of the university to make a clean break here and start anew. You know, I've heard Tony Dungy's name come up several times in relation to this Penn State job, where it's, you know, it's such a mess there in this alleged child molestation scandal that they find themselves in right now. And you know, I've heard that, you know, they're looking for somebody with great integrity, and Tony Dungy would obviously be a person of great integrity and really, I think, a good choice as a head coach. Jamie Jorge on the live blog says it's a death sentence for any coach right now, and it is going to be tough. Whoever takes that job, whether it's a high profile person like Tony Dungy or a person like Darren Perry on the Packers staff, or whoever it is, you know, they're going to have to deal with recruits not wanting to come to Penn State, the negative image that comes to it, answer questions about what happened in the past regarding Sandusky, etc., and, you know, possible sanctions. You know, it's you know, who knows what's going to happen there. And it is a terrible situation and unfortunate, but, you know, it still is a high-profile coaching job. As far as any, you know, program in the nation, I mean, Penn State is right up there, you know, among the best well-known, you know, thanks to Joe Paterno and what they've been able to accomplish there on the football field. You know, it's so, you know, here we go, though. I don't think this will be the last we've heard of Darren Perry interested in jobs in general around the NFL. It's very possible he'll be interested in NFL jobs. And, you know, if it's the NFL, I would assume it's not head coaching yet, maybe someday for a Darren Perry. But, as the season winds down here and teams start purging their coaching staffs. Darren Perry could be in line for a defensive coordinator job, you might think, here sometime in the next couple weeks, couple months. As we remember last year in the Packers in their run to the Super Bowl, though, the longer the Packers stay alive, the tougher it is, actually, for coaches on the Super Bowl teams, winners or losers, to find jobs elsewhere in the NFL because they're simply prevented from interviewing for these jobs until their season is over. And the Super Bowl being the last game of the year, college or pro, you know, it's they're kind of prevented from looking out there, and teams want to fill these jobs as soon as possible. They like to. That's what they like to do, at least. And you know, this is the beginning of the coaching carousel season. Obviously, the college season with their regular seasons already wrapping up and totally wrapping up after this weekend. You know, the coaching searches and hirings are already in full force, and it's just going to continue here. And kind of evolving here into the next topic of discussion in this morning's Packers Data Links. The second story down has to do about the previous head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike Sherman, getting fired at Texas A&M. So a report came out yesterday from the Austin American-Statesman, the newspaper that covers Texas A&M football, and reporter Kirk Bowles saying that Mike Sherman, on his way out there, quote, a prominent Texas A&M alumnus with strong ties to the Aggies athletic department, said this afternoon that the decision was made today. A&M's Board of Regents did not vote on the issue, but have discussed this since A&M's 27-25 loss to Texas on Thanksgiving night. And so Mike Sherman, now out of a job, he'll be part of the coaching carousel looking for other jobs as well. Although it's hard to see Mike Sherman getting a job at a prominent job anymore, pros or college. You know, you could kind of see him maybe at a lower college program. You know, like we were talking before a couple weeks ago about Joe Philbin being a candidate to be the head coach at Tulane. You know, that kind of seems like that's almost at the level of Mike Sherman now. And, you know, the Texas A&M they're moving to the SEC next year. And I think it was time. You know, they've kind of, I believe, underachieved with Mike Sherman as head coach there, and they kind of were a little bit snake-bitten by injuries this year, especially at the running back position, but there was a lot of talent there at Texas A&M, especially on the offensive side of the football, and, you know, qualifying for a bowl, but what was Texas A&M this year? 6-6, 7-5 at best? You know, really underachieving and not getting what they should out of those and out of their team. And Mike Sherman didn't. And as of note, Tom Rossley, the former Packers assistant coach who followed Sherman to Texas A&M, presumably out of a job as well. And anyhow, so Mike Sherman now on the street, or at least will be shortly. I'm not sure if he's officially been fired yet. That's just the report. Although if anything's happened since I went to bed and right now, I'm not aware of it. But anyhow, he is on the outs. And you know, continuing with the college theme here, it's a little bit further down in this morning's Packers Data Links, but we have an article from Fox Sports Wisconsin about Aaron Rodgers, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and his relationship with Vanderbilt quarterback Jordan Rodgers, his younger brother. Good article there. Both the Rodgers brothers are interviewed, Aaron with the Packers, Jordan with Vanderbilt, about the relationship. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers, as you can see in our blog post, had this to say, quote, "The ultimate cool thing for a big brother is to see your little brother pass you up. For him to get to a level where he's playing better than me would be my dream. I'm a competitor and it's tough to say, but I think any big brother would love to see your little brother exceed your success." So, kind of interesting. Jordan Rodgers is currently a junior at Vanderbilt University, and he wasn't the starting quarterback there at the beginning of the season. He's since taken over and has gone to qualified for a bowl game. And for Vanderbilt, that's a pretty big thing. They have not gone to many bowl games in their history of their football program. They're kind of stuck in the tough SEC and usually one of those bottom feeders. But, you know, just to qualify for a bowl even is a step in the right direction. And you know who the head coach is there at Vanderbilt is former Packers assistant James Franklin. Used to be the wide receivers coach in Green Bay. And he's got things moving in the right direction and kind of an exciting future. Be really interesting to see what Jordan Rodgers can take them to next year, whether they can be an SEC contender. That might be a little bit of a stretch, the SEC for Vanderbilt being a contender. But, you know, if they can improve on their record, I think they're just 6-6, 500. But, you know, if they can get a winning record next year and get up in that bowl pecking order, that'll continue their elevation. And, you know, be really fun to see. And especially when Jordan Rodgers' season is done, you know, where he might land in the NFL. And you'll have both Jordan Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers playing in the NFL at the same time. And, you know, it really is remarkable how similar their career paths have taken them, and this is all outlined by Paul Emming, reporter Paul Emming for Fox Sports Wisconsin, this article. But, you know, the story is well known among Packer fans. Aaron Rodgers, out of high school, didn't get recruited very much, went to Butte Community College for a couple years, transferred to Cal, and really the same thing happened to Jordan Rodgers, almost remarkably, after Aaron Rodgers was drafted in the first round of the draft, no Division I colleges were really recruiting him either. You know, if I was a Division I coach, maybe I'd take a flyer on Aaron Rodgers' younger brother. That's just me. You know, at least offer him the chance to walk on, if nothing else. And, well, I don't know, maybe he passed up walk-on chances, but no scholarship offers. Jordan Rodgers, too, you know, going to Butte Community College and then transferring to Vanderbilt. So, you know, just remarkably similar how there's a likeness between the path that Aaron Rodgers took and his younger brother is taking now. And interesting to watch is his younger brother develop. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see in another month all these bowl games with these connections here to the Packers and what happens. So, you know, with Texas A&M, we talked about Mike Sherman. You know, they're going to a bowl game as well, and it looks like that, you know, they'll probably be led by an interim coach. Who that is, I don't know, but I'm not even sure they know yet. And, you know, watching Vanderbilt and their bowl game and watching Jordan Rodgers getting a little bit of time in the spotlight. So here we go, comment from Jamie Jors on the live blog. Just want to say, though, I don't want mini Rodgers on the Packers or living in A-Rod's basement a la the Palmer brothers. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know what to think of Jordan Rodgers' chances at the NFL yet. I've watched him a tiny bit. I think I was watching Vanderbilt play Tennessee a couple weeks ago. Not even the full game by any means, but just watching a quarter or so of the game as was with some family. So I don't know much about his pro prospects, but we'll find out more in another year where he is. Could you imagine the Packers taking a chance on him? I mean, I don't know if he's even draftable material or you know, whether maybe he is. I don't know. We will see in a little. Oh, I mean, we're talking a year and a half from now. We're getting ahead of ourselves. But just interesting to talk about. It'll be the topic du jour in a year and a half, that's for sure. Just think back to this past spring. All the talk about Clay Matthews and his younger brother, Casey Matthews, who was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, and all that talk in the run-up to the draft. And, you know, I remember a lot of people wanting the Packers to draft Casey Matthews just because of how good Clay was. I'm sure it'll, to some extent at least, it'll be very similar to Aaron and Jordan Rodgers. So So there's all your Packers college football connections for the day. Not a whole lot going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. No big headlines yesterday, at least. Some of the bigger things that came out yesterday, of course, was the stock sale. And before I get to that, I'll just throw this up on the screen here. If you want to call into the show today, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to talk about Darren Perry, Mike Sherman, Aaron Rodgers, or anything else related to the Green Bay Packers, feel free to call into the show today and express your view and shut me up for a little bit if you want. So, getting to the stock sale of the Packers, the Packers announced yesterday that the stock sale will begin on Tuesday, December 6th. And, this has been highly anticipated among the fan base. I can't tell you how many questions I've got from people wanting to know what's going to happen and all the details of the stock sale, how much they're going to cost, how do you buy them, and some of those questions have been answered in just the general announcement here, even though they're not quite yet on sale. And it's been said here that the Packers will sell them for $250 a piece, and they can be bought online. I'm assuming directly from the Packers official website. Have to have a credit card or a debit card. I've got a lot of international followers on Twitter, and some of them expressed, being unable to buy stock, being unable to, if you live outside the United States, you can only buy it in the United States or the what do they call them, protectorates? I think Puerto Rico, Guam, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And even they announced that even residents of Virginia and New Hampshire can't buy the stock yet until it's approved by their government structure, whatever they need to do there. I would think it would be just a matter of time if you happen to live in Virginia or New Hampshire to buy some stock. I don't know why it hasn't been approved yet, and the other 48 states have, but anyhow. So interesting how that's all playing out. And I do have some fans on fans, followers on Twitter who are express their disappointment that they can't get their share of stock in the Packers, become an owner of the Packers. It is too bad that they can't. I suppose when you're there's a lot of regulations that have to do with this, but I couldn't even begin to speculate what they are. That is not my forte and not my area of expertise. So, as far as the Packers go, though, what's happening with the Green Bay Packers as they prepare to take on the New York Giants this weekend, the injury report is of note. Yesterday, A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop, the starting inside linebackers for the Packers all season long, they have yet to practice this week, and their status is kind of up in the air for Sunday. We could be looking at D.J. Smith and Robert Francois once again. We kind of don't know. McCarthy left the door open to them practicing today. And even in the aftermath of the Lions game, when both those guys suffered calf injuries, the incumbent starters, it was one of those things that, it didn't sound serious. And forced to guess right now, we're going to find out more later today, but forced to guess, I would think that A.J. Hawk and Desmond Bishop will play. I certainly could be wrong. But it just didn't sound serious from the get-go. They left the door open to them practicing today. And, I think they'll play. It's kind of a thing to watch. It'll be one of the stories du jour today, later this afternoon after the Packers practice. And head coach Mike McCarthy has his press conference, I think, at 12:30 p.m. today, Central Time. So, that's one of the stories to keep an eye on. And, you know, one of the things that is coming out of 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Another story in today's Packers Day Links is, you know, just thinking things to talk about here on this morning's show. A comment on the live blog here from Patrick. Hawk might have a better shot. Wasn't on crutches like Bishop. Yeah, that it was discouraging to see Desmond Bishop on crutches. You saw him on the sidelines of the Lions game on crutches this past Thursday or past Thanksgiving. I guess yesterday was the past Thursday, past Thanksgiving. And anyhow, it's good, though, that their last game was last Thanksgiving. I mean, that it kind of left about a week and a half between Packers games and a little more time for them to heal. So we'll see more today. And, you know, I don't think people are necessarily too disappointed that DJ Smith and Robert Francois might get a shot because they played so well last week. Over time, we'll see, though, how good they are compared to the incumbent starters. As I was saying, and kind of lost my train of thought here elsewhere in this morning's Packers Daily Links, there's an article in the Green Bay Press Gazette by Kareem Copeland interviewing Mike Neal. And, you know, it's kind of interesting like how much attention there was on Mike Neal and his comeback from injury and when is he going to get back on the field. And all of a sudden, okay, he gets back on the field. Mike Neal's been playing for two games. And it's just like attention on Mike Neal just dies. You know, it's more interesting his comeback and when he's not playing than when he is actually playing. And, you know, it's I suppose that's fueled in part that Mike Neal has not made much of an impact yet. He only played like 15 snaps that first game back. 2 games ago, played about 30 snaps or so against the Lions. So his playing time is increasing, and I think Mike Neal's taken a positive step in the right direction. I've said this many times that, you know, just playing was the first step, and now it's time for him to make an impact. And Patrick says here on the live blog, Neal will probably get more work this weekend. I imagine Mike Neal just get more work and more snaps from here on out, be a more integral part of the defense. At first, he was just part of their nickel package and mostly a pass rusher. But then against the Lions, he got a couple snaps in the base defense. And I think that's going to happen more and more in the 3-4. And you'll see him be more of a factor against the run and the pass. And hopefully he starts making an impact now that he's, you know, he's back. He's you know, had a little bit of time to heal here. He's had this week and a half off to get that knee a little bit more stable, a little healthier. And hopefully, you know, he starts making sacks, making tackles for a loss, stuffing the run, things like that. And we'll continue to gauge Mike Neal's progress throughout the end of the season. Question here on the live blog. Thoughts on EDS Evan Dietrich Smith starting at right guard? Wow. You know, it's I don't know where else you go. First of all, I mean, the Packers said they have options. They could have moved Marshall Newhouse from left tackle and moved somebody there. You know, Brian Bulaga to left tackle, perhaps. But they seem to be not doing that. They'll keep Marshall Newhouse there. And Evan Dietrich Smith at the starting right guard. They thought, you know, maybe Ray Dominguez, who, you know, who's a reserve, you know, now that he'll... You know, Evan Dietrich Smith got the first shot. He because he's the backup center as well. He has to be active on game days, whereas Ray Dominguez has not been active this season. I don't think. Maybe he was one game, but anyhow, you know. So the Packers have considered some options here at right guard, and I think Evan Dietrich Smith, after the performance he put up against the Detroit Lions when he filled in for Josh Sitton, who went out with the injury. Evan Dietrich Smith obviously gets all the attention for, you know, his little for getting stomped on by Ndamukong Suh. But you know, I have not analyzed Evan Dietrich Smith's performance. I do know that he was not a liability against the Lions. He held his own. And, you know, I think that alone deserves for him to get another shot, a second shot, to see what he can do. Josh Sinton doesn't appear he's done for the season by any means. So he'll be back at some point, you know, maybe as late as the playoffs, hopefully before. You know, in the interim, why not give Evan Dietrich Smith a shot? You know, why not go with him and see what he can do? And if he can't handle it, you know, maybe the Packers make a move at some future point next week, the week after. But I think based upon his play against the Lions, he didn't stick out like a sore thumb. He just kind of did his job, and the Packers' offense wasn't altered at all. They just kept right on, in fact, improved in the second half as compared to the first half while Dietrich Smith was in there. So there you go. I mean, Patrick on the live blog saying Sinton was having a great game before injury with the penalties. Or wasn't, yeah. Certainly. Josh Sinton has had unusually high amount of penalties this season, whereas he didn't last year, which is kind of interesting and noteworthy. But anyhow, so you know, the Packers, the face of the Packers, or the offensive line is going to change a little bit this week as they prepare to take on the New York Giants. I just tweeted, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, that, you know, it didn't seem like that long ago the Giants defensive line, remember Justin Tuck, Usi Umenyora, those guys kind of seemed like the most fearsome duo in the NFL on defense. And it wasn't all that long ago. And they've kind of fell off the face of the earth a little bit. And it doesn't look like Umenyora is going to play this Sunday against the Packers. I'm not sure if that's been made official yet. He's been ruled out. But, you know, he got injured there in, I believe, the Monday Night Football game against the Saints. And but anyway, I mean, these guys have talent on the Giants defensive line. They have former Packer Dave Tollefson as a reserve defensive end there. Just kind of noteworthy. In fact, the Giants have several former Packers that fans will recognize. In the secondary, they have Will Blackman, who more so than the secondary, he might get a chance to return kicks, possibly. And Derek Martin as well, also a reserve player in the secondary, but more known for his special teams play. So a lot of faces and names Packer fans might recognize this weekend between Tollefson, Martin, and Blackman. And anyhow, so worth watching. And, you know, the connection I was trying to make, that the Packers offensive line going to go against a Giants defensive line that, you know, has had production, very good production in the past. And yes, as Patrick points out here on the live blog, thank you so much for being an integral part of the show today, Patrick, pointing out Jason Pierre-Paul and the job he's done. He's probably taken over as their most productive defensive lineman this year and maybe for years to come as well. I remember liking Pierre-Paul coming out of college. I think he played at South Florida and, you know, kind of a very, very athletic player. Just kind of, as I remember, he was kind of rough around the edges, not fine-tuned yet, but really had a lot of potential. And I think you're seeing that, and he's playing fairly well this year. And so the Packers offense, and Evan Dietrich Smith in particular, is going to have to be ready for to face these players along the Giants defensive line. I personally think the Packers come out of there with a win this week. I just, you know, how can you go against the Packers the way they've been playing? You can't. You can't, especially a team against the Giants that struggled lately. I mean, you can't overlook the team by any means, but, you know, I don't think the Packers have overlooked any team during this, you know, undefeated stretch they've had. So I don't think it's going to start now. So, you know, it. Hey, I hope they go 19-0 and win the Super Bowl, and we can talk more about that. But anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us on Railbird Central this morning. Appreciate it so much, everybody joining us and talking some Packers football today. We will be back on Monday with another episode of Railbird Central, talking to Packers tight end Tom Crabtree once again on Monday. Make sure to come back for our coverage of the game on Sunday. And, you know, take care, everyone. On behalf of Jamie Jores, our live blog director, I'm Brian Kirvu. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good weekend, everyone. Go Pack, go. I leave you with the song called Ocean Billy by Humphreys McGee and Cy Fidelity Records Day. See ya.